he's given, Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given, Jesus Christ, his Son. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now, let the sick say, I am whole. Let the bound say, I am free, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now, let the weak
Ephesians chapter 4. Well, thank you for your well wishes. I made 310, and I'm thankful. I never thought I'd reach it. The only other birthday I remember that meant as much to me was 21. I looked forward to getting to 21, and those 3 years between 18 and 21 were the longest years of my 70. Because I couldn't get credit, I couldn't do anything, I wasn't even a man. You see, you're not a man, you're 21 in my day. I had to get permission from my parents to marry. Verdine didn't, she was 18, she was a grown woman. I was 18 and I was just a kid. Look, if you will, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. I'm going to start reading at verse 11. I want to say that another thing we do in our Thanksgiving meeting, and by the way, we do emphasize Thanksgiving on that Sunday. We're not really, we do preach the gospel, but we're here to thank the Lord, praise God. And like the ladies came up here and sing, why, a bunch of you could just gather together and sing. Get you a thing. We're going to sing, and four or five of you stand up and play your guitar or play your sticks, play your organ, whatever you got, and sing and praise the Lord. You know, the honest truth, I thank the Lord for our musicians. I really do. In any church in the country, even small churches all around us, they know 3 weeks to 3 months ahead of time what they're going to play. They do. And so they're not embarrassed by you calling out something they haven't played in a year, 2 years, or ever. So I just thank the Lord for the good music that we have. I think you ought to give our musicians a hand. I appreciate all of you. Beginning at verse 11, Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed fro and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. The thought I have this morning is verse 14, be no more children. Be no more children. Let's pray. Father, you've been so merciful to us, and we are thankful. We give you thanks for the nation we live in. We give you thanks for the soldiers who've died to keep us free. Amen. We give you thanks, Lord, for the people who've stood for truth and brought it to us. We give you thanks for the Word of God in our hand, published and printed and easily. We give you thanks for a building. We give you thanks for freedom. You have just blessed us. We are indeed rich. Amen. I pray you'd give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give, and I pray that you would touch your people, and I pray you'd grow us up into the fullness of the stature of Christ. Amen. Give me help. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. He said he gave some of apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ. The preachers and the Word of God that you have before you that prepared you are to perfect you, mature you, make you grow up, make you an adult, and so that you can do the work of ministering. So that you are an able minister of the Word of God. You see, in the Bible, it's not just the preachers that are ministers.
That's right.
It's just not the preachers that do all the preaching. The preachers are to prepare the people. Right. And the people going out witnessing in their families, among their friends, at their work, doing their own ministry, going out, while the ministry is multiplied. And we grow up people. Now, I personally think that we have a generation of babies. A generation of babies, and I'm not talking about 6 months and 9 months old. I'm talking about 30 and 40 and 50 years old. Oh, me. That's right. Now, I doubt that Judy would even accept me if I volunteered for the nursery. It's not my gift. In fact, I would not have even thought of teaching elementary school. Not my gift. Teenagers? That's my meat. Yeah, I love that. Somebody I can pick on, be a little rough with, and tease a little bit and give them a hard knock and try to get them to grow up. Be no more children. Be no more children. What is it about children that we put down? Children are great. I've had five of them. I now have 19 grandchildren. I think children are great. But when they're little, they step on your toes. They get in your way. They're a lot of trouble. When they grow up, they're going to step on your heart. They're going to hurt you a whole lot worse when they grow up than they're ever going to hurt you when they're little. Oh, do they cost? My children are expensive. You talk about putting your nose to the grindstone, get you two or three kids. That's all you need. Two or three kids will just keep you working. I mean, they will keep you busy. You don't know what to do with yourself. You won't have any more time for yourself because you got all these kids, mouths to feed. I have moved several times. They always find me. They keep making it out to the house. May we henceforth be no more children. Do you understand? We are soldiers. I believe the church has become a great big nursery.
Yes.
Where pastors run around with a bottle, sticking it into the mouth of everybody who squeals. Mm-hmm. And that's a shame. That's not what we ought to be doing, and that's what most churches are, and they think you're supposed to be that way. I don't think that way.
That's right.
I wanted this church to be a boot camp.
Amen. That's right.
Where you train soldiers.
Amen.
I don't know about you. How many of you are in the service or have ever been in the service? You're a veteran. Soldier or veteran? Quite a few of you. Let me ask you something. In basic training, after they had kicked you around, run you around, insulted you, and done a whole lot of things, did they come around and dry your tears by your mat? I don't remember that. No, they said, suck it up, get up and go on. What's the matter? You're a soldier. We're looking for soldiers. We're going to find somebody in a battle. Now, I know America does not like war. We want the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let me give you a little lesson in history. When you cease to fight, you go under.
That's right.
Count any country you want to take.
That's right.
When you cease to be tough enough to fight, the Romans, they were a great civilization. But they got rich and fat and soft. And they begin to hire the Germans, the Germanic tribes, the Goths, the Visigoths, the Vandals. They hired them to do their fighting. It wasn't long these guys said, hey, what are we fighting for them for? They just took them over. The only popular war in American history was World War II. And that was because of the attack on Pearl Harbor. Every other war we had in this country was an unpopular war with a whole lot of protests. Probably the worst we ever got to was Vietnam. And we came to a real low the way we treated our Vietnamese veterans. But Americans don't want to pay the price for freedom. But let me tell you something. Somebody has to pay a price. Somebody has to pay a price. Do you know why I know this free gospel? Because somebody paid a price before me. Somebody stood up and went to jail. Somebody stood up and demanded rights. Somebody did a fight. You got to have a little bit of fight in you. We got too many crybabies. We got too many sissies. And I'm not trying to badmouth you girls by sissies. But that's just the way life is, isn't it? We need some soldiers. And we need some spiritual soldiers. And I think that's exactly what he's talking about here. Somebody needs to grow up and stand up for whatever truth there is, or you lose it. I thank God for all the teachers because I can read and write. You're a teacher, I'm proud of you. I'm thankful for you. But let me tell you what. Standing here with freedom, having a Bible in front of me, being able to go down to the store and buy one, print it out, and have the freedom to preach on the streets and to send the gospel around the world, I thank soldiers. Without the physical soldiers of this country, without the people dying in a foreign field or on our own soil, you would not have the freedom you have right now. Don't you go bad-mouthing soldiers. You thank God for the soldiers that have stood up and paid the price that you might have the pursuit of happiness. Well, he says, be no more children. You know what children do? They cry all the time. They fuss all the time. They complain all the time. They're never satisfied, and they do not know what they want. We had a small church, probably 40 of us. And we had a nursery. And somebody had bought a chain with about 20 plastic keys on it. Big keys, about like that. Oh, they were so pretty, all different colors. And one of the older ladies in the church happened to be in the nursery one day when all of the kids were fighting over this one group of chains. She decided she'd solve the problem. She went down to the store and bought about 15 of those. They never played with them again. It was amazing. That's kids for you. I remember them telling about my sister. She wanted a little bit of attention. I'd been born, and so I was a baby, and of course she was not getting the attention she had as the only child for a long while. So my grandmother saw her put a rock on her toe in the front yard and then begin to cry. She put the rock on her toe and began to cry. Oh! I've seen kids, older kids, knock the little one down and make it cry. And they go, oh, poor thing, poor thing, poor thing. They're kids. What do you expect? They're kids. But hey, in the church, you don't have to just get mad at somebody because you're going to get mad at them. Or because they don't do something the way you like it done. It's time to have some people grow up and realize we're in a battle. We're not only in a physical battle in this country today, we're in a spiritual battle today, and we're losing. I know I am 70 years old. I have felt like I was 70 ever since I turned 69. I don't know exactly why it worked that way. But I've been 70 all year. I just made it today. Actually, now I completed my 70th year today, but the day I turned 69, all of a sudden my mind said I was 70. I don't know what that means. Some of you can psychoanalyze me. That's my boy. That's what you get for having them. I've heard said that children are the punishment from the pleasure of sex. I think there may be some truth to that. Now I've lost my position wherever I was in this sermon. I have no clue where I am. The problem with children is they fight over things that are inconsequential. Eddie and Billy are 13 months apart. They fought every day of their life. They did. They were always fighting. And I'd let them go at it as long as you don't make too much noise. They fight over things that make no difference. Like those keys I was talking about. As long as there was only one set of keys, why, boy, everybody wanted, that was the most precious gift there. When there were 15 sets of keys, it didn't make any difference. It wasn't anybody special if you had them. It didn't make any difference. Now I want you to think about the emotions about teenagers, kids. They get their feelings hurt so easily. You know, I want you to understand, I can't say it. I can't prove it with a verse. But I've been pastoring 49 years. I'm into my 50th year of pastoring. And I've seen more trouble over just hurt feelings than any major doctrine I know in the Word of God. That's my experience. I don't know about you. I've seen one little spoiled girl not get her way. Divide the church, divide the family, divide the missionaries, divide everything. Let me tell you something. We need to get above our feelings. I don't know how to do it. I've been preaching it for years. But I haven't figured it out. This is something that's escaped me. I haven't got the victory over that. I haven't got to the place where I could bring people to say, be an adult. So what if I hurt your feelings? So what if you hurt my feelings? Some of you get mad and leave the church. When you're mad, it's time you ought to come to church. When you're discouraged and down, it's time you ought to be here. So Somebody might take the Word of God and open up a little thought that just might bless your heart.
Amen.
Feelings. Soldiers cannot go on feelings. They obey orders. They get the job done no matter what they feel like. They may feel very, very bad, but it doesn't make a bit of difference. The job's got to get done whether they feel good or bad. They have to work with the person next to them whether they like them or not. It's important because the bigger thing, the war that we're talking about, is more important.
Amen.
Now, I'm not even talking about our physical wars in this country. They're an example of our spiritual wars. But you and I are in a spiritual war. I don't know whether you know it or not. I actually think most Christians think this is a social, spiritual social club. And I guess it is. And this town is full of them. I have a bigger goal. I had a bigger goal a long time ago, and God gave me some soldiers. And I'm thanking God for the soldiers that He's given me, spiritual soldiers, that would charge the world with the truth of the gospel and not fearing anything but sin.
Amen.
And walking for God, and they have made a difference.
Amen.
And I'm not ready to turn this place over to a little bunch of children snipping at each other one way or the other. I'm looking for some spiritual soldiers, and I believe that's biblical. Turn, if you will, to the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Just turn a page over. I don't know how many of you played football or sports or athletics, but coaches taught you a lot of good things. Not all coaches teach good things. Not all coaches are good men. But playing a sport, a team sport especially, is a very good thing for you. Because you learn you're just one of the team. You're not the whole thing. He says right here, put on, verse 11, chapter 6, Ephesians 6, 11, put on the whole armor of God. What do you think he's talking about? He's talking about warfare. You don't wear armor unless you're going to fight somebody. It's heavy. It takes a lot of trouble to put it on, take it off. It takes a lot of preparation. You got to walk around on it. These people think about the used to be in the West. They want to be the old gunfighter. That gun's heavy. These policemen, they've got about 25 pounds on their waist every day. That belt right there, that's about 25 pounds. You realize in 105 degree sun out here, you walking around with 25 pounds on your waist all day long? It's an extra weight. They need it because they're soldiers. But it's an extra weight. You got to put out some extra effort to be a soldier. You got to put out some extra effort to protect people. You got to put out some extra effort to do battle for the Lord. He said, put on the whole armor of God. Notice that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now you look at verse 12. Some of you that are sitting at ease in Zion, some of you that think this is nothing but a spiritual social club and we ought to worry about your feelings, you come to the wrong fellow. You can ask my kids. They didn't get what they cried for. If they cried for it, it was a sure thing they didn't get it. And they cried quiet. I know some of you don't understand that at all, but that is a beautiful teaching. Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know what we think? We think, I am wrestling against that flesh and blood right there. I come up to Mr. Jones and I insult him and he thinks he's wrestling against me. He spits back at me and I think, I'm wrestling against him. He's mad at me, I'm mad at him. No, that's not where the battle is in here. It looks like it's there. You feel it's there. Emotionally, that's where it is for you. That's not the battle. Look at this verse. He makes it as plain as he can possibly make it. We wrestle against principalities. Do you know what's going on in the way people dress today? Wickedness in high places.
That's right.
Spiritual things. You know what's going on in the attitude and minds of our young people all across this country? You know what's destroying our homes? Wickedness.
That's right.
In high places. Spiritual wickedness.
Yep.
You're not battling against just your wife and the flesh or your child. You're wrestling on a spiritual plane. And if you don't recognize what plane you're fighting on, you're not going to do a very good job of fighting. He said, we wrestle against principalities. I believe that as there is a governor of Texas, I believe there is an evil angel governor of Texas and a righteous angel governor of Texas over the same territory. You've got spiritual forces working out there. You want to know why these, I don't know what to call them, these musicians that are just great rock stars, they're ugly as homemade soap. You ever read their literature? You ever read their songs? You can't hear them and understand them. Now, I'm a little bit deaf, so on the TV I keep the thing running. I actually learn what the songs say. It'll actually tell me in that little thing going across there what, that's just plain stupidity. It's wickedness. And you young people that are listening to this stuff, you're filling your mind with this junk and you don't know it, but you're turning yourself over to spiritual powers you don't understand. You ought to be fighting against it instead of submitting to it. We wrestle against principalities. That's those spiritual wickedness. He says, against powers. You're not talking about the governor or the mayor. They may be included. Because most of these powers come to you with a physical form, a physical face, and a physical voice and personality. That's where you meet them. And you all of a sudden think, I'm fighting these people. But that's not really where your battle is. You can fight these people all day long. Win with these people. You still don't win. Because you are a spiritual soldier in a spiritual conflict. And there is no easy way out. I wish there were. He says we wrestle against principalities. We wrestle against powers. We wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Think about that. You've been spending too much time with your mouth fighting when you need to be on your knees praying. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I told you to take the whole armor of God. You know what the armor is there? We have the armor of God. It's the helmet. Loins girt about by truth, breastplate of righteousness, the gospel, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and praying always. You know, if you don't do that, you're going to get defeated. And that's where I think the church is being defeated today all over the world. And especially right here in the United States of America. And I don't believe it's some of these little things that you and I think about. I think we're losing the battle on a spiritual plane because we're not fighting in a spiritual way. He said, be a soldier. Well, look, if you will, at 2 Corinthians 10:4. 2 Corinthians 10:4. You say, I don't like your sermon today. That's all right. You can take the last two sermons and print them and enjoy them. I was sweeter then. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare. One time I wrote in an epistle and sent it out. I talked about building soldiers for Christ. And I had a lady got so upset. You're trying to make soldiers out of our children. Yes, ma'am. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. She came to my house upset because I wrote to be trying to make soldiers. You know what this Bible is saying right here? She had no clue where she was coming from. But she was a spiritual Christian lady, a leader in a church, and didn't want her kids to be made soldiers. I don't know how you think. But look what it says here. The weapons of our warfare. What does that make you? A soldier. The weapons of our warfare. You say, I want peace. I want happiness. I want the pursuit of happiness. I want riches. I want wealth. I want everything to be happy for me. It may not be that way in your life, my friend, because you may be called upon to fight. The weapons of our warfare. We're in a battle. Now notice what he said. They're not carnal. It's just like he said right over there where I just read to you. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're saying the same thing. What kind of weapons are we using? Well, we're not using a .357 Magnum. We're not using a .50 caliber. We're not using a hydrogen bomb. What are we using? Hey, my Christian friend, the weapons of our warfare are mighty. That's what it says right there. You read that verse? The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. We are spiritual soldiers in a spiritual battle using spiritual weapons. You can't see them. You can't feel them. You can't pull the trigger on them. You can't set the timer up. In fact, you're going to have to get out of your normal way of thinking or you're not going to do much battle at all. You're fighting on a spiritual plane you cannot see. And you're fighting with weapons you don't know very much about. But God says they're mighty. They're mighty. What can they do? They can pull down strongholds. Now just think about the battles that you can see and you know. You've read about. You've seen them in history. This guy's got this great big castle up here. He's got a wall that's 40 foot thick and 40 foot high and you can run four chariots around it abreast. How are you going to take him? Maybe with a year or 2 years of sieging. Maybe with blocking off an entire river so that you can walk under the water course and get your soldiers inside the gate. Maybe by sneaking a spy inside that can open up the gate for you. But you've got to take that stronghold. It is a stronghold. Why did they build it that way? Because it's a stronghold. And it keeps most people out. You got some strongholds. Wickedness in your mind and in your heart. You got some strongholds. Spiritual power that influences the emotions of young people all over this country. Influences the emotions of Christians in America. Strongholds. You wonder why you do something, everybody rises up. Woo! What'd I do? You touched on a stronghold. And the stronghold of the devil rose up. Rose up in your children, rose up in your friends, rose up in your family, and shut you up. You need the power of God. Nothing else will do it. There's not a person in this room strong enough to withstand the devil. Not a person in this room strong enough to conquer the stronghold. But they're mighty through God. Through God. You've got to engage God. If you don't engage God, you're going to lose. If you don't get God on your side and you don't get yourself on God's side, you're going to lose. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations. You're dealing in the realm of the mind. You remember in the story of sowing the seed? He says that he sowed the seed, some fell by the wayside. And the birds of the air came and they plucked it up. What are you talking about, Lord? He said, you're preaching the Word of God. You're teaching the Word of God. You're sowing the Word of God. And while you're sowing it, the devil is coming and stealing it out of their mind and their heart. Now you think about that a minute. That's where you're doing battle. That's where your battle is. That's where you're going to win. We don't need children in this battle, kids. We need some grown-ups. I don't mean that you're young, you can't grow up. When one of the best officers I ever served under went into World War II, like Audie Murphy, about a 17-year-old kid. And they killed him off above him till he went from up to senior master sergeant, second lieutenant, and captain. He was 17 when he was in that war. And when he was in his early 20s, he was already an officer. He'd never been to college a day in his life. He didn't even finish high school. You know how he got there? Attrition. They kept killing people above him. He's the most experienced man left. He just keeps moving up and moving up. He's the best officer I ever had. He was a soldier. He was in a battle. He just kept surviving. And he kept fighting. You're in a battle. The church is in a battle. We're losing. Because we're not thinking where the battle is. We're not standing up. We're fighting over little bitty stupid things that make no difference whatsoever. I used to get so upset at my kids. I had five of them. Good night. That's extra punishment. We never found out what was causing it. Casting down imaginations. You're fighting against your own imagination. Do you realize how many times you fought the devil in your mind? That's where your big battle is. Your battle's not your husband or your wife or your neighbor or your friend or your Sunday school teacher or your preacher or the guy at work that keeps picking on you. That's not your battle. You need the power of God to go against your own imagination. Have you learned to battle that? Well, maybe you better get on your knees and start praying. Maybe all of you ought to start coming to prayer meeting every once in a while.
Amen.
The weapons of our warfare. We are in a warfare, and you have weapons. Are you using them? I don't think many of you are using them. I think you're sitting here playing nursery. And God help us, we need soldiers.
Amen.
The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Look at another verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Last part of verse 6. 6-6. Here's the weapon. Love unfeigned. Real love. Not love put on. Not love acted out. Not love spoken. Love unfeigned. The real thing. That's a weapon. That's a spiritual weapon. It's awful hard to combat it. Love? My. Look at verse 7. By the word of truth. The truth. Just keep standing for the truth. Never give up the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Pay whatever you have to pay to get the truth of whatever it is you're dealing with. And once you get the truth, You give it up not for friendship, not for family, not for fellowship, not for money, not for success. You don't give it up. Truth. Truth's a mighty weapon in the hands of God. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations. The word of truth. By the power of God. I want to say it again. You can't do it by yourself. The Apostle Paul couldn't do it by himself. Peter couldn't do it by himself. And you can't do it by yourself. The power of God. By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Brother Trinity, I just got into the last part of his message. But he said, sin will eat you up. Sin will just decay and destroy everything around you. You think you can keep on going on with your wonderful happy life and your wonderful happy marriage and you can play with sin. You can't do it. I don't care who you are. You can be that big preacher out in Colorado, but you start playing with sin and man, you're in trouble. Is there any of us free from sin? That means you have to have a fight, don't you? That means you have to, by God, do a spiritual battle. By God, by the power of God, you do spiritual battle against sin. Protect yourself with righteousness on the right hand and righteousness on the left hand in every way you possibly can. Look, if you will, at 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, when kids play, they shoot each other down and they fall down dead and then they come back up again. I don't know how many times I died playing soldiers. Playing cowboys and Indians. Playing cops and robbers. I don't know how many times I died. And then I'd get up. Just keep on going. I want you to read a verse with me. You looking at it? Verse 8. 1 Peter 5, 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. We don't want to be sober and we don't want to be vigilant. We want to be carefree and happy and let's have fun and I want my way. That's what us little kids want to do. But I'm sorry. You're going to have to grow up or you're going to lose. You grow up or the church loses. You grow up or this church loses. You grow up or these missionaries lose. You grow up or we lose the battle. No more kids. Be no more children, but mature soldiers. Why? Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary. Oh, we're in a battle. I've got an adversary. You think you don't have anybody that's against you at all. You're just so happy-go-lucky and you're so sweet. And you've taken Dale Carnegie and his course on how to win friends and influence people. And so you're just much sweeter than those old mean preachers. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary. My sweet little teenage girl, your adversary. My fine, strong, brave, 10-foot-tall teenage boy, your adversary. My father of 4 or 5 out there, your adversary. You have an enemy. The devil. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Don't tell me the devil's teeth are pulled. Don't tell me he's on a big chain. I had a teacher friend of mine. He was a Christian. I believe he was a born-again Christian. He was much more liberal than I am. So we had some great arguments over how long the devil's chain was at the present moment. See, I don't think the devil's chained at all right now. He said he was chained by the gospel. Everywhere you preach the gospel, he was chained. He didn't have to worry about it. I said, boy, I don't know what battles you've been doing. I don't know who you've been facing. As far as I'm concerned, he's got an awful long chain. You go with these pastors sometime. Can you sit in the home and you watch it destroyed? And you come back and worry about your petty little old things. The devil is devouring houses. The devil is devouring soldiers. You just saw one great big one out there in Colorado. And he just got gobbled up. He played with sin. Maybe his temptation wasn't your temptation. It happened to be his. You think it couldn't happen to you? On your temptation? Oh yeah, it can. If the devil had a Bathsheba for David and he had a Delilah for Samson, what do you think he could do for you? You think you're free? You think you're not in danger? You're too old to fall. You're too young to fall. You're too sweet to fall. You're too spiritual to fall. Don't be stupid.
Amen.
Grow up. You have an enemy, an adversary, the devil. He's looking to see who he can devour, and he'll try. I praise God for Roland and Angie.
Amen.
Because the devil did his worst. And they overcame.
Amen.
And they're walking faithful.
Amen.
And they're going to hurt the rest of their life. And they're going to be fighting. You think you don't have that to worry about? You better think about it again. There's not a single one of us in here that has any protection except the armor of God and the power of God and the spiritual weapons of God's warfare. You're in a battle. You have an enemy. It is not a light enemy. It is not a light thing. He does not want you preaching the gospel. He does not want the word of God going out. He does not want you standing for righteousness. He does not want you standing for truth. He does not want you to stand up for the name of Jesus Christ. He is your enemy. And he will devour you if you let him. He will eat you up and take pleasure in it. He will make you ashamed. He'll spread you above everything. Make you so embarrassed. Open your hymnals. Laura, if you will. Susanna. 414. I want us to sing it. You can sit. You can keep sitting.
I can't let him take my life anymore.
What?
I can't let him take my life anymore.
I'm probably going to pray this. Come down here. Tell him the burden on your heart. Four 14. Y'all not familiar with it? I a soul.